Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we're going to review Civil War for you. My name is Wayne.
My name is Paul. Straight into it then for this brand new film, which is quite the talking point around the interwebs.
Is that so?
It is.
Buzzy.
It's a dystopian war film written and directed by Alex Garland, an Englishman, and stars Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Mora, Kaylee Spaney, Stephen McKinley Henderson, Sonoya Mizuno, and Nick Offerman. It focuses on, well, Wayne will tell us that in a moment, and it's produced by Andrew McDonald, Alon Reich, and Gregory Goodman. Released by A24, apparently the most expensive film that they have made. It's 109 minutes long. The budget was only $50 million, even though that is the most expensive film out of that studio. Mm-hmm. And the box office at time of recording, so from the first day upon release, is $10.8 million. They reckon somewhere between 18 and 22 from vague memory in terms of what this film will take through the North Americas. So we'll see.
Were you expecting it to be a success?
Yeah, I think that's...
We'd have to go like 80, 90 to at least be...
Yeah, somewhere in 90 to 100 gets us over the line, I do believe, depending on how much they did spend on marketing. All right, Wayne, what is Civil War about?
Okay, so it's set in this dystopian American future where there's this huge civil war going on between four major parties, and unlikely states like Texas and California have banded together to secede and overthrow the presidency, which consists of this president who's refusing to leave office despite his two terms being over. So it follows journalists who are driving from New York to Washington, and it documents the conflict, and they're going to try and interview the president while navigating the various militia groups and skirmishes on the way.
Yeah, very good. Well said, sir. According then to the critics who get paid for what they do, on Rotten Tomatoes it says 83% of 239 critics as positive with an average rating of 7.6 out of 10. Metacritic, always harsher, 77 out of 100 based on 55 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. And very interestingly, audience surveyed by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of B-,
which is tough
on the A+ to F scale when exiting the cinema. All right then, Wayne, without any further ado, we didn't see this together. We didn't see an advanced screening. This is an old-fashioned. We were both interested. Perhaps particularly me. I'm not sure.
I was wildly interested.
Just missed my 10 most anticipated, my number 11 most anticipated film of the year when we did that countdown earlier on. Wayne, what did you think of Civil War?
I walked out of it going, you know what? That was good. Mm-hmm. I said, this is pretty good. And I can tell you something, American listeners, the whole world is interested in your election. You know, you wouldn't know who the Aussie Prime Minister is, but we sure as fuck know who the President is.
So yes.
This is not what I was expecting, because when I saw the trailers for this, I'm like, I wonder if this movie is going to try and tell you which way to vote. It most definitely is not doing that.
A big criticism of this film are being leveled at it because it doesn't take a clear political stance.
It should not.
I might fuck off.
Exactly.
Doesn't need to.
It would be shitty because then only half of people would like it. It's a stupid business.
Well, even more than that, it's a case of then it's casting judgment.
Exactly.
Right? And you can read into it and it's not hard to see there's some elements here. And apparently Alex Garland wrote this in 2020 when the whole American political system was a fair bit of upheaval towards the end of that year and then starting 2021, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So
That's why...
But you can read it both ways. It's clear. And that's why it's California and Texas.
Exactly. A red and a blue state that somehow... So they're saying to you, look, we're not choosing sides here, but people are dicks though, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of saying that, which is good. And that's why, because it doesn't actually tell you why the Civil War
happened. Right. It just throws you in there. Because if this is years into this Civil War conflict, people wouldn't stand around going, well, there's a few throwaway lines like... Mr. President, why did you decide to give yourself a third term?
Yes.
And Mr. President...
Why are you using like drone attacks on your own people?
Why did you cancel the or disband the FBI?
Yes.
You know,
so which is very...
There's very little, little snippets of... Snickets? That's not even a word.
Yeah.
Little bits of information about it. But otherwise, you are in the midst of this with these people. You're discombobulated and it's very, very deliberate. Mm-hmm. You're not meant to know why and how. You're just meant to know it is.
Yeah. And you're in the middle of a war zone. And this is... In essence, more of a journalistic war photography film than anything. Do you know what I mean?
100%. There's a lot of commentary here about journalism and its place in these type of things.
And that's what got me.
Can you be objective if you are there and you're amongst it?
Exactly.
And, I mean, they're putting their lives on the line, make no mistake. At one point, they call their mission a suicide mission.
Yeah.
And as someone who once studied journalism and then moved over into psychology.
I was going to say, Paul was a journo for like...
No, I wasn't a journo. I studied it.
Paul studied journo for one whole year. Three semesters, which is more than most journalists. So on the internet these days anyway. I thought you'd have an interesting view on this because I had no idea what photojournalism was really, right? And it's very surprising to me that you actually have photojournalists moving in with squads that are going on skirmishes.
I did find that fascinating too.
And they're literally like getting them out of the way. Yeah. And like, if I was like, you know, five guys in a squad trying to attack somewhere, there's moments where it's like, we all got to be quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. So they're putting your lines at risk. The journalists could give them away.
Exactly.
And also like, the enemy combatants don't stop to check whether or not someone's got press written on their helmet or on their vest.
So you're definitely in the middle of it. Yeah. And so that's
something moves and at the enemy lines, you shoot it.
That's right. And so this is the film. Is it cliche at times? Yes. Occasionally.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
But it was filmed in such a competent and interesting enough manner to keep you entertained. I personally was looking at, there's some very unusual sound drops or needle drops.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there going, you know what?
That's a negative for me.
Okay. Well, I was
didn't work for me.
Here is what it is, right? I looked at it and I went, oh, this is what they're doing here. So like you think, is that the sound is on purpose at odds with the action? So they're doing that thing like, the only thing I think of is Face Off where they played Over the Rainbow while there was a gunfight, right? It was a little bit like that. But I was like, you know what? I've decided that that is color that makes this a slightly more distinct movie.
That's fine. That's fine. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, this is, you know, I think it was a good decision, if an unusual one. I think the chemistry between the leads was good. You definitely have this sort of like camaraderie between these people going around, and you need that because the movie spends all its time with these folks.
There's four journalists in this party. I don't think that's a spoiler to say.
No, that's fine.
And they're our main four characters through the vast bulk of this film.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say, how good is Jesse Plemons? Like,
yes.
You know, like he's only in it for one scene. And I think it's uncredited.
It's the best scene in the movie. It is uncredited. I looked very carefully for his name. So Mr. Kirsten Dunst gave his time here and didn't ask for. And maybe that's where he's at now.
Is he with her?
They're married.
I had no idea.
There you go, Wayne.
Now I'm even more impressed. So, although Kirsten Dunst is...
Although speaking of, they really make an effort here to make her dead inside.
Dead inside.
At the start of this film. She's very, it's very frumpy, unflattering,
yes,
unpretty, very real.
Yes, yes.
I imagine there's very little makeup in her... in what was going on here. So full credit to her because I think she did transform. This is not Spider-Man's girlfriend.
Oh, no.
This is a really good role
weathered,
for her.
Like kind of had it all kind of...
And Kirsten Dunst, if you've followed some of the interviews that she's given in recent times, not necessarily about this film but about other stuff, she says some dumb shit at times. She really does. Yeah, I can't even give you an example off the top of my head, but I'm like reading that going, ooh, missed it. Just pack it away, love. Move on.
The only time I've ever heard her not acting is she did a commentary for Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man once.
Right.
And she seemed charming then, but then again, it's if you talk about a movie, it's different, right?
Okay, anyway. But my point is here, it's so different than what we're used to seeing her, and she really does seem, to my mind, she really nails this role. I think she does a really great job.
Agree.
I think all the cast are good. Kaylee Spaney as the green recruit, if you will.
I hear her star is on the rise. Who is she?
I'm pretty sure she's an alien Romulus too, but don't quote me on that.
Really?
So, and she looks so young.
Yeah, she looks
like 23 or 24.
She looks 17 to me.
She did. I'm like, is she even legal age?
Exactly.
What the fuck is going on here?
Exactly.
And then the veteran actor, Stephen, whatever his name is, who was in like June and virtually all the, he's really good. The only guy who I thought maybe not quite as good because he just...
The lead.
Wagner Moura, who was from, what is it, Pablo Escobar from Narcos, the series.
Oh my God, is that him?
Yeah. How much weight has that man lost?
It doesn't even look like the same dude.
He looks so much younger. He looks so good. He looks too good given the condition that the world is in, that they are in.
Yeah, I was looking. I actually didn't. It's not that I didn't care for his performance, but I didn't like that character.
I didn't mind the character because, well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll
spoilers,
get into the spoilers. We'll get into spoilers.
What he represents and what he signifies. And again, another commentary on journalism and the like. Well, not just journalism, anyway.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. He just seemed like, because I didn't recognize him from whatever, but like I was like, so who's this guy? You know, why is he there? And I wondered about, like, he's Hispanic, I guess. So how does that, you know, affect certain things that go on in the movie later on with regard to where you're from?
There is a moment.
So, yeah, I think that, like I said, the movie doesn't lean one way or the other. It's not trying to tell you how to vote. Great. I'll tell you this one thing. The movie itself, after your third White House downfall or your third Olympus has fallen, where you're used to Hollywood saying, oh my God, people are attacking the president, and it's always North Korea or it's Russia or this or that.
Yeah.
This movie seems to almost be on the side of the secessionists, if you ask me. It's definitely not on the side of the presidency.
Well, it's following.
It's following those people.
It's
right?
Following the militia as they move in.
But it's slightly But I guess by virtue of...
heavily implies that the president's brought this upon himself.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, right? So it's like, but that's a very refreshing take. Like, I don't...
As opposed to being a virtuous, great guy and we need to protect him at all costs.
Yes. Yeah. So that is already like, whoa, I don't even know what we're doing here. So for me to be on this side of that fence as a viewer is... I think that's the real value of the film almost. It's like, wow, look at that. Like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't... And also, like, the and we'll talk about it in spoilers, but the culmination of the film is almost cold in its way. So
yeah, we will get there. Look, I want to say this. I think this is as tense a film as you are likely to see. I watched this whole... I was late at night. I had a big day at work. I'd run. I'd been to the pub to watch the football with mates, and then I went and saw this. So it was a long, long day, and I was like, shit, I'm every chance to fall asleep here. Nor to fucking hope. Once that movie started, I was hooked from moment one. There's a big key moment that happens very early in the film for 3, 4, maybe 5 minutes. And after that, I was never, never not involved and really trying to work out who was going to walk out of here and who wasn't and how it was going to play out. I think this is harrowing, it's brutal, and it's transposing what we see in other countries. We watch films about civil war or war in Afghanistan,
exactly,
or Iraq,
yeah,
you know, or Vietnam, if we go back to that era of filmmaking and films that are set. But you don't see it really in the States this.
And especially the heartland, you know, like kind
of... And it's years after, right? You don't see anything about this all kicking off. And as we talked about, you don't see the reason or don't hear the rationale really why. But to be years down the track in this world where now it's America that's fallen into ruin.
Mm.
And there's no mention made at any point of the rest of the world. This is a purely... North American story, except for the Canadian dollars I mentioned at one particular point.
That was an interesting point because they're like,
because the dollar's worth nothing at that point in time, and
for them to like Canadian dollars are worth money. It's like, whoa, because the greenback is the greenback.
I think this is a great film. I think this is a phenomenal film at multiple different levels. I need to watch it again to see if it gets higher than the mark I'm going to give it now, whether it stands up, which is the mark of a truly great film. But the impact on a first watch and some of the things that take place in this movie. Flawed's too strong a word, but really left me with my jaw agape. Like, oh my God.
I think.
And that's a sign of a great film. And there are moments of real beauty in here. You might even argue they're out of place, but for me, the juxtaposition of them made them really work.
No, I think, I think the real triumph of the film is the fact that there's an element of when there's a, what you would imagine from the trailers is a politically, you know, sort of like, it's a little bit like eat your vegetables are good for you. You should go and like learn about this. But it wasn't that film at all. It was engaging. It was,
short. I thought this film was going to be 2.5 hours.
Yes.
It's 110.
Yeah.
I'm like, great.
More of that, please, Hollywood.
Great. There's no fat on this film.
Some of us have jobs.
You might find 3 or 4 minutes if you want to be really crude with the editing stick. But otherwise, I liked every scene. And every scene is full of threat.
Yeah.
Every scene.
Yeah.
On these four, even when they're not on the road yet, there's an opening scene which is also full of threat. It's just so, I could not tell who was going to live and die, which way Garland was going to go with this. He could have gone 3 or 4 different ways. He went one way. It works.
Yeah.
I reckon we get into spoilers then, Wayne, from here. So let's hit the button. No need. We are clearly on the same page today, so no need for much soundboard. I'm sorry, bud. We'll get you in, I'm sure, during the main episode. Let's do the spoils.
You can't handle the truth.
Which might be the byline for this entire film. Really?
No shit. Now, all right. So, things that we want to talk about that are spoilers. Now, Kirsten Dunst.
Yep.
Her fate.
Yep.
The thing that happened to her.
Yeah, we're in spoilers.
So, she bumps the young girl out of the way and then takes about 5 bullets and then she's dead.
More importantly than that, if I've got a qualm with this film, and I had to wait for this point really in spoilers, is that people change very fast in the course of this journey. It's 3 days. And we see a green rookie woman who wants to be a photojournalist become, you know, harrowed and just above and now be living for the thrill of it, which is Wagner Mortimer's character. He loves the thrill of this. He look, they're making eyesight, their eyes are wide.
Like, he's like
they're getting off
he's
on
smiling.
This.
He's smiling at it, yeah.
That whole I would jerk off if I could at this point in time type thing.
That I can get. Like, if the girl is you know, she's young, she's hungry, she's looking for things.
My problem
and she's
is
learning
it's
to enjoy
3 days.
It is 3 days.
Right. And the same thing for Kirsten Dunst.
I've got a bigger problem
Lee,
with that.
That she goes from being completely over virtually life and having, I'm here, I'm just going through the motions here.
Exactly.
She's quite depressed. She's quite moody. She's a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
Right. Which is fine. All makes sense with her character.
Character.
She's playing
exactly.
it. She's playing it well. Then the way that she suddenly starts to break down.
Now,
like, okay, her mentor dies. So, or one of her, the big dude from Stephen, whatever his name is, I can't remember his name, Sam in the film. So Sam gets shot, saving them in the, you know, after the film's best scene, or is it the button on the film's best scene where he mows down Jesse Plemons and he's...
Is he her mentor though?
Well, yeah, like clearly she's
a respected older member.
Yeah, a lot of respect for him. He's a writer for the New York Times. What the fuck, New York Times is left?
You know. Exactly.
That's another thing. Little knock on the film. Like, if there's not really that much journalism, like, where is this being published? Who is this for? Clearly America doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Although you're still gonna consume news about a civil war in your own town, right?
In America? I mean, they want to know when it's all over, but do they really need to hear the president's last words?
Look, if he hasn't, didn't they say he hadn't given an interview in 18 months?
They said
or
at one
something?
Point that he was having journalists shot on sight like they were enemy combatants. So
yeah, so if you were,
is that hyperbole or is it true? I don't know.
But if you were an investigative journalist, that might get you along there quicker. Do you know what I mean? Like, if no one really cared about journalism, I don't know.
I'm picking.
Yeah, but like, to take the point,
but the character changed in 3 hours. I think it was too fast and too pronounced. Yes.
So she was all the way up until they got to Washington, and then they were pinned down by the tanks and whatever. And then
she's crying.
She's crying, and it's like, and she's crying to the point where she's no longer effective because they have to grab her and get her out of there. And I'm like, when did that happen?
And Wayne, if you're gonna realize someone's gonna take a bullet, do you run out in front of them, shove them over and stand there looking at them?
This is
do you dive, tackle them and roll into whatever?
And this is what I wanted to ask you what you think, right? Given that she was distraught mere moments before that and she killed herself, I think she actually chose to
take that's an interesting take and I hadn't considered it.
Because that's the only way you would... She knocked her out of the way, stood up and looked down at her.
Now, I know we go into super slow-mo and then we get this device which Garland uses throughout the film where the photos the photojournalists are taking, it pauses, it goes to black and white, holds it for 2 or 3 seconds and then the film continues. And we see like 5 of these shots, which is a throwback to a conversation that Lee and Kaylee Spaney's character, Jesse, have on the steps of this, what do you call aid area, it is. And he says, would you photograph me if I died?
Yes.
And Lee says, what do you think? And it turns out to be the other way around.
Yes, exactly. Right?
And then she's not even...
She doesn't even take a second for
barely gives a fuck because she realizes, hey, the president's about to be taken out and rushes in there. Yes. I'm like, whoa.
And I think that's the point
here. Cold-ass shit.
It is some cold-ass shit, but think about this. She's a young buck photojournalist, green, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she gets told, what would you think? She's learning to be a photojournalist. And now the fact that she was stupid enough to be in the way and then she gets knocked out, she's taking photos of like her savior dying, right?
One of her heroes, apparently.
And then she realizes, wait a minute, I haven't got time to grieve. I've got to go get the president. And she rushes off without seemingly a moment's thought. She probably then had a problem later on. And that's one thing I will say about the film. It just ends.
Yeah.
Like, it goes, boom, that's it. And this is my big thing, right? When they finally get into the president's office and all the militia or whoever are there and they've got their guns on the president, they drag him out. And then the journo dude.
Yeah,
says,
Joel.
Joel says, wait a minute. I need a quote. He looks down and then he's like, don't let them kill me. He goes, that'll do. And then, right? That was disdainful. That was like, fuck you, president.
They were clear from the get-go. There was no way this president was walking out of there. Even the journalists knew that. There's commentary around that very early
Secret
in the
Service
film
as well.
And then, so we're trying to negotiate this peace, like that one Secret Service agent. Like, I'm here to negotiate the president's surrender and needs immediate evacuation to it. Like, I got something for the president.
Exactly. Whatever. Like, they were just giving their go. And the truth is, that's the thing about Secret Service agents. It's like, we're all going to die here because if the president dies, we have to die first. And you're like, imagine being a Secret Service agent who didn't agree with the president's policies, which I'm sure has happened.
Yeah. Well, you know that is.
It's like, this is the job. Exactly. Dying is the job.
Exactly. But never like this, obviously, so far in history.
And that's why it's so scary because like, I imagine American listeners tell us, I imagine this means a lot more to you if you're living in America.
Well, I think there's been much stronger reactions. And I would imagine if we had a similar film set here in Australia, it would evoke more similar reactions as
Most
well.
Most definitely.
To go back in time then a little bit, please, though, I think that scene we alluded to with Jesse Plemons, we don't know what side he's on. He's wearing military fatigues. We don't know whether he's on the side of the president or the loyalist forces, or he's on the side of this militia, or he's on the side of the Florida alternate militia. And there's apparently a reference to another fourth armed body, which I didn't even catch.
Yeah, there's the Western Force and there's the Florida Alliance or something.
And then there's the New People's Army.
New People's Army, exactly. So what I think, this is interesting. That scene, it seems to me like he was just a racist who was using the Civil War
right
as an excuse to cap foreigners.
Well, it wasn't just foreigners. You look in that There was plenty of all kinds of
I think it was,
people.
Yeah, he might have been like, it might have been foreigners and sympathizers.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's why when he's like, okay, so where are you from? What kind of American? I'm from Mississippi. All right. Where are you from?
Real
I'm
Americans.
From Colorado. Yeah, so I'm talking about real Americans.
And then he says to Joel's character, he says, I'm from Florida.
Florida.
Now, did Joel read the room at that point in time?
And say, I'm from Florida. Yeah.
Florida, and then gets away. It was like he hadn't passed judgment yet, but these two Asian-looking Americans.
He kills the image. He kills the one Asian
one
guy
straight away. Another one. He's like, "Where are you from?
Where are you
Hong
from?
Kong,
Hong
huh?
Kong, China." Boom, boom, boom. Right.
So he's made a career out of being these sort of stony-faced sociopaths.
Absolutely, and that's why he's so good. Like he's like because the first time I saw him was Breaking Bad when he killed the kid, right? We're like, you know, we couldn't believe it, right? And then now it's just like he's doing
Game Night. He plays the same kind of guy, but to a comedic effect.
Yes, yes, and that was, and I don't know why he's so good because he stole that movie.
That's a big statement. He stole that scene. He's
stole
brilliant
scene
that scene.
Sure, you're
he
right.
adds so much to that scene. That scene is the most tense of all the tense scenes. You don't know it's going to work or walk away from it. Sammy's up there saying, every instinct in me is saying, this is death.
Yeah, and of
and
course,
a great line.
Absolutely.
Really well delivered as well.
By the way, you know he got completely cut out of Dune 2? He shot all kinds of shit and they cut him right out.
Yeah, which is sad. We never saw his character's fate. And then at the very start of the film, they're in this protest. Who knows what they're protesting, why they're protesting, but there's Lee and there's Joel. They're there, and that's where they meet Jesse, so Kaylee Spaney's character. And then this bomb just goes off.
The guy with the flag? Yeah.
Was it the guy with the flag, or was it the woman who stood up with the backpack?
No, I think the guy with the flag was rushing with a bomb. Why else would you run around with a massive flag?
The way that they had a big shot of one random woman, we never saw her again, stand up looking very kind of weird about this thing she struck on her back. So I'm not sure. I think you're meant to know.
Yeah, maybe you're right. It was just a fucking
war.
This
bomb just goes off. I'm like, holy shit. Yeah, it was like
huge.
Children of Men start.
Yeah, and then like silence because it's obviously your ears are ringing or whatever. It was really good. No, it was a good
then
film.
Then after Sam gets shot, rescuing them and presumably kills Jesse Plemons' character by running him over in the car coming out. Although, you know, again, always worry about, not worry, if I want to be really technical, if a car's coming, you'll hear it
and you'll turn around and shoot at it.
Unless it's a fucking Tesla.
Yes.
You know it's coming, and or electric car, you know it's coming, and there's no way you get caught by surprise. But nevertheless, really effective into that scene. And when Jesse's on all the bodies and she stands up in that overhead shot, holy shit.
Yeah.
Hell of a shot. The shot when Sam is dying and they're driving through the forest that's on fire and all the sparks and embers are all up there. It was just beautiful. Mm. That's sort of stuck in my memory too.
As a director, you're like, can we get something beautiful in here? Mm. Can I get a really cool shot in here, please? You know, and I get it. It didn't disrupt the movie.
And even the commentary around, can you be truly objective if you are a journalist and you're on the front lines and clearly you're going to side with the people who are trying to keep you alive? Like the photos aren't of, they're of all these people, the militia being, or the Western forces being her heroes and dying.
Because they're saying, look, get to the side. They're actually protecting them.
I think there's a lot of that in here too. And yeah, I just think the film is very powerful. It's very well put together.
It just shows how ugly war becomes. Because once you've chosen a side, it's like, okay, now we kill the other people and your humanity kind of
goes out
the
window. When there's four sides and then assholes, maybe like Jesse Plemons' character, again, unnamed, who are just using this to their advantage.
Exactly.
Like, wow.
He'd be a psycho. Every single
interaction they have, or even the town where, we're also open for business. We've just decided to stay clear of it
all. That was an interesting scene because it's like, okay, well, you know, even this seemingly normal midtown America, they've got people snipers on
the roof. Sam's like, just look up. Don't make it obvious. And there's a wonderful shot which just cranes down very
just
slightly and angles up. Yeah. And then there is the two dudes with the rifles on the roof of whatever building.
It's a good show.
It's a great film. I think, all right, anything further from you, Wayne?
No. Wasn't this guy's last movie Men?
It was.
So this is a marked improvement, I imagine, Paul?
Look, this is. And I think this is one of his best films for me personally.
Yeah.
I did not like Men. I did not care for it. But, you know, your mileage will vary. Annihilation, great film. Ex Machina. But for me, this is probably his best movie.
Yeah.
And apparently he's gone on record saying, I don't want to direct anymore. I just want to write.
I always get this guy mixed up with Alex Proyas. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I know.
Got the same first name.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, literally. But yeah. No, great.
So apparently his next, maybe not next gig, but a gig in the future is him writing another trilogy of 28 Days films, which I would be keen as fuck for.
Oh,
so.
Okay, cool.
Wayne, what are you scoring Civil War?
79.
Okay, I'm giving this an 83.
83,
and
huge.
It is my best film thus far of 2024.
Bloody hell, you loved it.
Sees out Dune Part 2 just slightly.
Holy shit.
And maybe I gave that 80, whatever it is. Whatever I gave Dune, add one. Okay? They are very close in my mind, and I think they are both excellent films.
Good stuff.
All right, if you disagree or you've got a very different opinion, you hate this one, and there are people who fucking hate this movie, if you believe what I'm reading
is that
online.
So?
Yeah, this is not universal acclaim. As I said, B- on that cinema score scale, People are walking out of there and shitting on this movie.
You know what's funny? The Midwest, if you look at the map of the A24 map, that's all of the loyalists. So everyone in the Midwest is actually with the president, according to this movie. And then down the bottom,
well, even looks like even New York and the like are all loyalist states. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing: New York State is full of ding ding ding, 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 you know. That's but New York, but Manhattan is the other way. So so you've got, I don't know.
I don't know what to say about that, so I'm not going to
say anything. Exactly. I'm in Australia. I don't really know.
All right. Let us know what you thought. If you disagree or you agreed, you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on X at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on Podbean, where we host, and check out the Facebook list community, where the bulk of the communication between us and the good folk listening to this show happens. It's been an absolute pleasure. Oh, thecountdownpodcast.com for links to everything else Countdown related. It's been an absolute pleasure. My name is Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been the non-existent and barely utilized soundboard.
Brilliant.
I knew as soon as I fucking opened it up like that. Alex Garland for making this film. We'll catch you next time.
See ya. See ya.